So we spent a lot of February talking about godly relationships. How do you do relationships in the way that God would desire of us? And admittedly, we could stay on this topic for a while, but we're going to close out our series today. As Jordan announced, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It marks the beginning of the season of Lent. As a church, we want to focus our hearts, our minds on this journey towards the cross, a journey towards grace. At the same time, it's a journey that invites us to be responsible. It's a journey of responsibility. We want to talk about how to take that responsibility seriously. But this morning, we're going to talk one more time about honoring God in our relationships. One challenge with teaching this topic is the reality that there are many different kinds of relationships. And if we were to focus on one kind of relationship, say dating or say marriage, for some of you, that kind of teaching would not be super applicable right now. So what we've been trying to do is talk about principles that cut across, that apply to every kind of relationship. Forgiveness is needed in every kind of relationship. Encouragement is a blessing in every kind of encouragement. And this morning, I want to give you the single most important rule or principle that Jesus gives us that applies to every relationship that we have. Are you ready for this? You don't sound ready. All right. We're going to turn to Matthew 7:12. Okay, now seasoned students of Scripture will immediately know this verse comes from the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon in the history of the world, found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Jesus is drawing his sermon to a close, and he sums up all of his teaching on the law and the prophets in a single sentence, maybe the most influential, most famous sentence in the history of the human race. We all know it. We call it nowadays the Golden Rule. Let's read it out loud together. 1, 2, 3. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God indeed. Let's pray. Lord, oh Lord, we know this principle, we know this rule. Lord, we know it, but we don't often live it. It's hard to live it out. And Lord, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would just touch us this morning, that you would not just inform us, you would not just touch our hearts, give us a emotional response, but Lord, that you would move us into a life that is able to live in this way, to treat others, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. It's so simple and yet so profound and so difficult to do. And Lord, we just pray that this morning you would give us insight, you would give us inspiration, you would challenge us, you would lead us into repentance, you would lead us, Lord, into your life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Out of curiosity, I looked up when this verse first started being called the Golden Rule. And there seems to be some consensus that it was Anglicans, theologians, preachers, who first used this phrase starting in the 17th century. Fascinated to learn, actually, that over the years, people have identified other metallic rules. There are other metallic rules than just the Golden Rule. For example, here's one that might be called the Bronze Rule, okay? The Bronze Rule. Do unto others as they do unto you, okay? That's the eye for an eye approach. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. I heard about a lady whose husband had died, and she put on her tombstone, as you do, rest in peace, until she learned that he had been unfaithful to her, and so she added 4 more words to the tombstone. Under rest in peace, she added, till we meet again. You know, most of us live bronze rule lives most of the time, and studies back this up. Anybody want to guess out of all the factors, whoa, my iPad just went crazy. All the factors that, what is going on? I rebuke anything the enemy's doing to my iPad right now in Jesus' name. Okay. Let me close out my Kindle and try again. All the factors that determine or most influence whether we like someone, physical attractiveness, political affiliation, IQ abilities, personality type, et cetera, et cetera. Out of every possible factor, what would you guess is the number one factor that determines whether you like another person? Anyone, do you want to guess out loud in a way that everyone can hear? It's whether or not they like you. If they like you, we tend to like them. Okay. There could be somebody that I've never liked before. Maybe I didn't show it, but I've never liked before. But then I find out that they said something nice about me, that they actually like me. What happens? My thinking changes, right? I start thinking, wow, this person had hidden depths. They have judgment and discernment. I like this person. Anybody want to guess what the single factor that leads to you not liking another person? They don't like you, right? They don't like you. They could be a wonderful person, right? Otherwise, you know, they could be Mother Teresa, right? But you find out that Mother Teresa doesn't like you, you start thinking, you know, I'm not really sure that she's the saint that everyone makes her out to be, right? Like, that's conventional wisdom. That's how we do things. Jesus put it like this. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Right? Of course, that's what we do. What else are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus says, here's a better way. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Right? What's underlying that? It's the golden rule. Here's another metallic rule. You can call it the iron rule. Do unto others what is best for you, okay? And there are many ways that we express this in our culture. Might makes right. I've heard this one recently. He who has the gold makes the rules, okay? History is written by the victors. Maybe even you do you, right? I'm going to do what is best for me, for my family, for my tribe. You know, sometimes the iron rule can morph into something that people call the tin rule, which is to love those who are above you, right, and oppress those who are below you, right, in the social circle. People call it the tin rule because it looks like a combination of the golden rule and the iron rule. Golden rule for those who have the power and the iron rule for those who don't. There's, of course, no known alloy of gold and iron. That's why they call it tin. But the reality is, it's just the iron rule applied to people who are mightier than you, right? It's still, do what is best for you. Jesus said, however, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And he's talking about our intrinsic motivation, right? Why do we treat the people? Why do we treat others the way that we do? Is it for a temporary gain? Is it for a temporary reward, or an eternal reward? What's your motivation? Who are you doing this for? Why are you doing it? Well, Jesus says your Father in heaven has something better for you than a bronze rule or an iron rule, There's other rules that we can get to, but the Father has something better than that. He says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Other translations say, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Jesus had used this phrase at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And he had wanted to talk about how he was going to fulfill the law and the prophets. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to make them full, to fulfill them. And here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, kind of like a bookend, Jesus says, you know, now I sum up for you the law and the prophets. The central, the golden rule, in other words, is central to what Jesus is saying. It's not just like this tag on, like little line at the end. It's actually summing up the whole deal. Jesus had been very concerned, you see, that people were turning the law and the prophets, the Torah, into legalism, as a kind of superficial behavior modification. People thought they were somehow pleasing God, but they weren't even loving other people. They were missing the whole point. And so Jesus says, hey, I haven't come to abolish what the law and the prophets are about. I have actually come to fulfill them. And then for the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, he gives the most brilliant teaching in the history of the human race about things like, how do you deal with your anger? How do you deal with your words? How do you deal with your sexuality? How do you deal with your stuff and your money? How do you handle your tendency towards judgmentalism and so on and so forth? And he comes to the end of all of this, and he says, I want to summarize this whole thing in a single sentence that everyone can take away with them. This is how we're going to fulfill. This is how we're going to make full the law and the prophets. Think of all the ways that you wish other people would treat you, and you treat other people in the same way. Now, it's interesting that actually in human history, you find something like the golden rule, but always in negative form, right? To continue our theme of metallic rules, some people have actually called this the silver rule. Confucius, for example, credited with having said, do not do to others what you would not wish done to yourself. And you can find this almost identical saying in ancient Indian wisdom, Greek wisdom, Persian wisdom, Romans, variations of do not do unto others what you know is hurtful to you. In 20 BC, the famous Rabbi Hillel said this, what is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. This is the whole law. All the rest is commentary. So it's essentially a universal moral rule. Philosophers over the centuries, ethicists, have looked at the bronze rule and the iron rule, the tin rule, and seen their inadequacies, the problems that they cause, and they say, no, 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 we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't treat one another in ways that we don't want to be treated. And we can actually just remove a lot of human problems if we were to do that, right? Murder and stealing and adultery, et cetera, et cetera. And there's wisdom there. They're right, of course. But then Jesus comes and he takes up this phrase, but completely transforms it. Because there is a difference between the golden rule and its negative version, the silver rule. Many years ago, when we sent Caleb, my older son, to nursery school. I'm going to talk about him since he's not here. He started learning a lot of interesting phrases from his friends at school, to our dismay, actually. I don't think he really understood what he was saying, but he began coming home and saying things like, I don't care. He'd never said that before. And I don't believe you. And most shockingly, I hate you. Right? Sonny and I had never taught him to say those words, and we now had to teach him not to say those things. But you know what I found? It was fairly easy for me to tell him not to say those things, right? I just asked him, hey, how would you feel if another person said those things to you? And he admitted, I wouldn't like it, right? And that's about as far as I went. What I was teaching Caleb was that there are some things that you should not do to others. What he wasn't learning from me was that there are things that he could do to and for others, right? And it occurred to me how difficult it was for me to actually teach those things. It's a lot easier just to say that, don't do that, than to actually teach a more positive ethic, right? To actually do things. But Jesus transforms this universal moral rule and he makes it golden. He makes it kingdom filled. You see, the kingdom of God is not just about how we can avoid mistreating one another. The kingdom of God is about how we can begin loving one another in the way that God loves us. The golden rule is a reflection of how life is supposed to work in the kingdom of God. That up there is now coming down here through Jesus, through his person, his life, his teachings, his death, and his resurrection. And God proactively invites us into his kingdom, into his rule, into a relationship with him, and then we can proactively go out and love and invite others into that love. And this is what it looks like. Think about how you, as a follower of Jesus, how you want to be treated as you're seeking to come to know and love and follow God, right? Think about how you would like others to treat you to help you become more and more that kind of person. And now you do that for other people, okay? Are you seeing the difference between between legalism, just trying to avoid hurting one another, and actually going back or going after the good? You know, going back to my story about Caleb, in some ways, I think he understood better than me back then how this works. Because after a while, instead of just avoiding saying those things, to my surprise, he started doing something different. He actually took it further in a kind of a revolutionary way. He would start to say, "Daddy, I care." Right? "Daddy, I believe you. Daddy, I love you." Now, those words, especially the first two, didn't really have the impact on me that they could have, because I wasn't really sure if he understood what he was saying, right? Because he would like to tell me that he cared, that he believed me, regardless of the context, right? "Daddy, I believe you." Thanks, Caleb, but I didn't say anything, right? But thank you. But isn't that what we want, right? Isn't that what we need? What if that were the message of the church? What if that was my message to you? Aren't those words that we all want to hear and need to hear, that this world needs to hear, that there's someone who cares about us, someone who believes in us, someone who loves us? That's the golden rule. John Ortberg once challenged his church to live for a week with golden rule eyes, to live with golden rule eyes. And here's the idea. In every interaction, whether it be someone at church, in a coffee shop, you know, Cafe Nero, Starbucks, when you're at work, when you're at school, people in your family, what if instead of responding, acting towards them in our normal, self-centered fashion, it's all about my hopes and my dreams and my goals, everybody else is kind of a supporting cast in the movie that I'm the star in, right? What if instead of living that way, we paused and we just started to notice other people? And what if we took a moment to think about what's their story? What's their dream? What's their hope, right? What would I want if I was in this person's shoes? And then what if we used imagination and took initiative and asked for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Part of what is so great about this golden rule, the golden rule that Jesus gives us, is not that it's this little like legalistic thing that you just cross off when you've done it, but it's actually an endless spiritual adventure that requires empathy and thought and creativity. You put yourself in another person's place. And what that means is that we can have a golden rule moment every moment that we're with someone. We can make every relationship a golden rule relationship. And I'd like to issue that same challenge to us, to live this week with golden rule eyes, and then the following week, you know, having assessed how we did, to try again and again and again. And it's just this simple, right? Right now, start thinking about people that you're gonna see this week, okay? People that you live with, your housemates, roommates, your family, people who live in your neighborhood, people where you go to work, in your class, people that you're going to run into in third spaces, restaurants, coffee shops, stores, the clerk that's standing or the barista that's standing behind the counter, people who are older, people who are younger, people who are richer, people who are poorer, people who are well-educated, people who are not, people here in this church, and people who are millions of miles away from God. In a moment, I'm going to give you even more time to actually think and pause about pause and think about these people. But when we do encounter them this week, pause again. Do a golden rule pause, and you can do this. Ask God for help, and he will help you. Put yourself in that person's shoes. Just take your mind off of yourself. Pause a moment and think, if I was that person, if I had their hopes and their dreams and their life, their fears, how would I want to be treated? And then just allow the Holy Spirit to give you a little nudge to have a golden rule moment. Focus not on you, right? Not on how are other people treating me. It's how am I treating other people? Now, I used these words earlier, but let me repeat them as a way to frame this golden rule adventure. Imagination, initiative, and inspiration. Okay, let's talk about these in turn. First, imagination. The golden rule asks us to start imagining. How would I like to be treated if I were in that person's shoes? And here's the great thing. If you're not a particularly imaginative person, because Jesus asks you to think about how you would feel, okay? And most of us know how we feel, right? Because we are the most important person in our lives, right? We know what we like. We know what we don't like. We know what makes us feel good. And so all of us can do this. We can start right there. That's a great place to start. And I actually think that's awesome that we can use, Jesus can use our self-centeredness to start blessing other people, right? The golden rule, in a way, redeems our self-centeredness and starts us becoming more and more other-centered. Now, of course, the golden rule doesn't mean, right, well, I like ice cream, so I'm going to give all my friends ice cream. Right? If our friend is lactose intolerant, right, then that's not that helpful. You have to keep imagining, all right? We have to, as the cliche goes, walk a mile in their shoes. Some people that you don't know well, right, start by just treating them how you would like to be treated, okay? And then strive to get to know them and learn how you would like to be treated as you learn what it's like to walk in their shoes. Having said that, let me offer one clarification, right? Over the last century or so, some philosophers have suggested a whole nother metallic rule. They call it the platinum rule. They figured we can improve on what Jesus said, right? Not just do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but simply do unto others as they would want you to do to them, right? In other words, treat people the way they want to be treated. And it sounds basic, right? Like, it sounds even more other-centered than do to them what you would have them do to you. But actually, Jesus doesn't say that. And Jesus, you know, very easily could have said, treat people the way they want to be treated. The point isn't to just do what other people want, okay? That's not the golden rule. Just do to people what they would want you to do. Because, you know, what if they just want to take advantage of you? What if they just want you to agree with something that you can't agree with? What if your boyfriend or your girlfriend just says, I really want you to sleep with me, right? And you should do unto others what, you know, you would have them do to you. No, that's not what Jesus is saying, right? This isn't about enabling people. This isn't about just doing whatever they would like. This is about, remember the context, think about how you as a kingdom person, Jesus is talking to people that he's inviting into the kingdom. He's pointing them to the kingdom. He says, if as a kingdom person, think about what you would want, how you would want to be treated, how you would want people to help you grow in this context of the kingdom, right? You do that for others. Does that make sense? Right? Okay. So first, imagination. Second, initiative. The golden rule initiates. Jesus doesn't say, make others do unto you as you would have them do unto you. Well, the golden rule says, you start the whole doing thing, right? And sometimes we get scared that in all of this doing unto others that we're going to be taken advantage of, okay? But here's the thing. If you're living out the golden rule, who is the one taking advantage? Who is the one who's actually making out in the whole kingdom living business? If I seek to live out the golden rule, who's the one that's making out? I am. I'm making out because I have God. I have his love, his power, his joy, his hope. I have a relationship with the God who knows all and created all and holds all. And so if I'm just trying to follow God, if I'm just trying to follow Jesus in this, I think I'm actually making out pretty good in this deal. Does that make sense? Even if no one else treats me right. And we can take the initiative because, really, we're not the ones who took the initiative. God did. He reached out, invited us, took us in. He didn't follow the bronze rule. He didn't treat us as we treat him, right? And so here's the thing. Even though in the moment the golden rule can look like a sacrifice, right, even feel a little bit scary because you're putting the other person first, we'll actually end up with more love and more joy and more friendship that we know what to do with, because that's actually the law of inversion in the kingdom of God, where those who put themselves last end up being first, where those who make themselves the servants of all are the greatest of all, where the people who live under the rule of gold end up empty, but the people who live with the golden rule end up full. Okay, that's the golden rule. So what if we were to have a golden rule week? What if we were to become golden rule people? What if we were a golden rule church? Third, inspiration, or put another way, inspiritization, okay? Inspiritization, this being filled with the Spirit. This is really important because without God, we can barely handle avoiding hurting one another, right? Barely handle that, and we don't do that so well sometimes. Now, what made Jesus' golden rule so revolutionary, so extraordinary, is that, again, he asks us to go beyond just avoiding hurting one another, but actually proactively loving one another. And in order to do that, we need the Spirit of God working inside of us, right? We need his love. We need his joy. We need him to fill us. We need his Spirit to just keep nudging our naturally inward-focused hearts and eyes to start looking outward. Okay. Now, here's the thing about the golden rule. As I said before, virtually every religion, every philosophical tradition has the negative version of the golden rule. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because it reflects the fact that we live in a world that has moral content, moral meaning attached to it. And thoughtful human beings have always understood the need for this kind of life, even as we find it difficult to live in that manner. But what is so distinct about Jesus is he didn't give us a rule. He didn't just give us a rule. He gave us himself, right? He gave us his Spirit. He did the golden rule with us, right? And now, only because of that, we can do the golden rule with others. What this means, okay, is that you cannot do and live out the golden rule just on your own power, with your own wisdom, with your own energy and resources. Right? It's not about giving more than you have, like giving more time than time you have, giving more resources than resources you have. What it's about is being filled with God's love and then being able to give that outwards, right? And what that may mean, actually, to live out the golden rule, is sometimes you're going to have to tell people no to things that they are asking of you, right? Because you need, first of all, to be filled. You need, first of all, to have the Spirit of God inside of you, working through you. You need to be inspired and the Spirit leading you to imagine and initiate and so on and so forth. Without spending time with Jesus, right, you're not going to be able to live this out. Amen? Imagination, initiative, inspiration. Perhaps we can begin the challenge right now. Let's go before the Lord. Let's start small. I just want you to close your eyes and start thinking. Think about the people who are going to serve you this week. They're going to serve you in restaurants, maybe as you go out to lunch right after this, as you go to the grocery store. How would you like to be treated if you were in their shoes? If I were in their shoes, I think, want to be greeted with a smile. I would want someone to respect me as a person, not just as a dispenser or something that they want. I would want to be appreciated. Let's go a little deeper. Think about your friends, your roommates, your spouse. How do you like to be respected as a person? What would help you go deeper in your relationship? What would help you go deeper in your relationship with God? Well, you can begin doing those things. If I'm going through something difficult, would I like to be given space or given compassion? Well, I think that I would like for others to ask me how they can help, to give me some options to choose from. What about your friends who are not believers, who are not Christians, especially the ones who know that you are a Christian? You know, knowing what I know now, if I didn't know God, if Jesus was not a part of my life, if I was headed for a Christless eternity, knowing what I know now, I would want someone to help me understand what faith is about. I would want somebody who is bold enough to take the risk of initiating a spiritual conversation, to ask about my level of interest. I would want someone to invite me into their community that's seeking to follow Jesus. I would want someone who is prepared enough, had read enough, had thought enough, that they could explain to me clearly what it means to follow Jesus. I would want someone sensitive enough to give me the space to kind of think and process and decide on my own. But I would also want someone persistent enough to just keep praying out, praying for me and reaching out to me. Let's think about those people. Let's talk to God about those people. Let's take some time to ask the Holy Spirit to help us imagine. And maybe there's some things we need to write down so we don't forget. But let's go before the Lord.